man.
The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. You can have a seat in Jesus' name. We're going to make it so that when you, amen, come to church on Sunday, there's going to be enough fuel from the Holy Ghost on the inside of you to just walk over every single circumstance, every single situation, every single problem that the devil will throw in front of you. Amen. It's time out for us as believers, Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized, tongue talking, word confessing believers being whooped and defeated by the devil. If we being whooped and we being defeated is something we're not listening to, something we're not applying in our lives. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Is that all right? Is that good teaching? I mean, it'd be good if you had somebody sit down with you and sympathize and pitify and all the other stuff like that with you. But what you need really is a good Holy Ghost whooping, something to get you up out of yourself and make an adjustment and say, okay, Lord, what am I missing? Where am I missing it at? Because I'm supposed to walk in victory. I got a covenant with you. I got a contract with you. So if something ain't happening the way it's supposed to be happening, what am I doing wrong? I'm tired of making excuses. I'm tired of, come on, somebody say amen to this. We should be seeing victory all the time, 100%. Amen. The Apostle Paul said, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. I'm going to continue the subject on the Holy Spirit. Amen. Turn your Bible with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. We're going to kind of do some teaching and however the Spirit of God lead us. But today, I'm telling you right now, you are blessed. You are blessed. When you walk out of here, you're going to be armed. Armed and dangerous. I'm telling you what, your work people, your people you work with going to be like, what the heck done happened to that person? Your household going to be like, what done happened to mama? What done happened to daddy? Amen. They just came in my house, threw away all my CDs, and shut the TV down, drop kicked it on the floor. Amen. Come on, somebody say it's time for us to win. I feel the glory. It's time for us to win. I'm talking about win in life. Amen. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy, spoil, disarm, annihilate every single work of the devil. Amen. My God. Here we go. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. On the count of three, read it with me. 1, 2, 3. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. The word communion is the Greek word koinonia, which means participation or partnership. Take your neighbor and say partnership. You and I have been called and summoned to the high call of being in partnership with God Almighty. You are not just some old peon, dust-filled person who God redeemed. Amen. You are made in his image, made in his likeness. Come on, somebody say amen. You are called to partnership with God. I want to say something to you right now. Except a believer accept this call or this summons to partnership with God, the world won't change. Nothing just happens in the kingdom of God. I remember hearing mighty men of God, such as Ivy Hilliard, Dr. Ivy Hilliard, has a church of 20,000 members. I remember hearing Pastor Bill Winston, Pastor Henry Healy, Bishop Butler, all of them say the same thing. The whole time I was waiting on God, God was waiting on me. See, there's some things in your life that God is wanting to change. God is wanting to deal with, but it requires your partnership. Come on, somebody say amen. It requires us to understand our partnership with the Holy Spirit. The word partnership in the Webster's Dictionary means the state of being a partner, participation, joint interest, association. I like this one. A contract by which such an association is created. This partnership we have with God is a legal binding contract. It's called the New Covenant. For those of you who are Hebrew studies or whatever, the Brett Hadashah, we're talking about that which God has prearranged, preordained before the foundation of the world. You and I are in a contract with God, a covenant with God. Come on, somebody say amen to this. We are in partnership with God Almighty. Meaning, if we do our part, he will do his part. Absolutely, it will be done. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the partnership of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Now, if I wanted to be a golfer, amen, and I needed somebody to partner with to make me a great golfer, I would go find Tiger Woods. And I would become a partner with him and become like him. If I wanted to be a great basketball player, then I would go find somebody like Allen Iverson. Amen, Sister Becky. I would go find somebody like Kobe Bryant, somebody like Michael Jordan. Amen. And I would partner with that person, learn from them, allow them to coach me. Somebody say amen. Well, if we believe we can become great if we partner with such people like this in life, how great can you be understanding you're partnering with the God of all the universe? The same spirit that was in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 2, that slung the sun, the moon, the stars into existence as God spoke the word. The Bible said he hovered upon the face of the waters. The word hovered means that he brooded like a chicken hovering upon its eggs to wait for them to be hatched. The Holy Spirit was there in all of creation. Not only was he there in all of creation, if you trace from Genesis all the way to Revelation, every man of God that did any mighty exploit, the Holy Spirit was there. He didn't do nothing in and of his own power. The Holy Spirit was there. When it came to Samson, slaying a lion, ripping it apart into pieces, taking the jawbone of a jackass, smacking down 1,000 Philistines, the Holy Spirit came upon him. When it came to David, the Bible said the Holy Spirit came upon him. He broke the neck of the lion, broke the neck of the bear. You got to catch what I'm saying here. Every time there was an exploit, the Spirit of God was there. He was in partnership with that person. Amen. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, you and I are in partnership with the Holy Ghost. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. Turn there right quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. I'm telling you, I'm going to shake off today. We're going to shake off every single limitation. Every single thing that's in your vocabulary that you're saying, I can't do. Somebody else didn't do it. So that means I can't do it. Guess what? We're going to break that thing off for you today. Anything that's holding you back, you know, addiction or this man or this girl or somebody controlling your life and holding you back, you're going to break that today because you're going to realize that you are in partnership with the creator of the universe. Watch this right here. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. It says, God is what? He's what? Come on, say it again. God is what? He's faithful. That means he's dependable. He's reliable. He can be trusted. He's faithful. Amen. By whom you were what? You were called. That word called means you were summoned. You were summoned unto the what? The fellowship of his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now watch this right here. It says that you were summoned. You and I were summoned into the fellowship. Somebody say fellowship. That word fellowship, there's the Greek word koinonia, which means partnership. We were summoned by God into partnership with the Lord Jesus Christ. The word Christ means the anointed one and his anointing. Now, it means the Messiah, but in the New Testament, it means the anointed one and the anointing. The word Messiah means the anointed one. So you and I were summoned into a partnership with the anointed one. I'm going to say it again. We were summoned into a legal binding contract and partnership with the anointed one. Now, let's discover what the anointing is, okay? Let's just go over here to Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Turn there right quick. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. See, I'm just going to tell you who you are today, amen? See, everything that's in the world that is not like God's word, you and I are in contract to break that thing, to annihilate that thing, to destroy that thing. You hear what I'm saying? Everything that's in the world that is not like God's word, you and I are in a legal binding contract of partnership with God to break that thing, to destroy that thing, to annihilate that thing. That means that if your neighbors is going through marital strife, you and I have been anointed to break that thing. to destroy that thing, to annihilate that thing. That means right now, if poverty is beating you up and down upside your head, you and I have been anointed to break that thing, to destroy that thing. Amen. Somebody say amen. I don't know about that, Pastor. Well, you better start reading your Bible, because we've been anointed. We've been anointed. Look at this right here, Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Let's read it together on the count of three. One, two, three. How God, Jesus of, with the who? And what? And he went about doing what? And healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Let me bless you. The word doing good right there comes from our word philanthropist. A philanthropist is a person that gives money away. Lord have mercy. Jesus was anointed to do good everywhere he went. That's why when they needed food and they was out there in the wilderness, the Bible said that he blessed and he broke the food. He brought supernatural provision to 15 to 20,000 people. Wherever he went, he relieved them of demonic oppression. Wherever he went, he relieved every person that was oppressed or depressed, because he understood his partnership. You got to catch what I'm saying here. How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. The anointing is the person and personality of the Holy Ghost. So if the Holy Ghost is the anointing, watch this right here. You and I have to learn how to navigate a close, intimate, personal relationship with him, walking in the grace that gives us obedience to the faith, so that when God speaks, we obey him. Because guess what? Obedience is what brings the blessing in everybody's life. And see, the reason why we're not seeing these mighty exploits of God is because we lost our ability to be obedient to the promptings and the wooings of the Holy Ghost. You got to catch what I'm saying. I heard Bishop David Oyedepo say this right here. He said, you just can't walk in, you just can't be a walk in the Spirit. You got to be governed and live up under the dictates of the Holy Ghost. When the Spirit of God say, turn that off, you got to listen to him. When the Spirit of God said, turn that up, you got to listen to him. When the Spirit of God said, give, you got to listen to him. Why? Because what you're doing is you're developing your inner man to obey him. And the more you develop your inner man to obey him, what happens is the Holy Ghost say, okay, I can trust you. You got to catch what I'm saying. See, God ain't about us trusting God. It's about, can God trust us? The Apostle Paul said, everything that was gained to me, I counted it as loss that I might win the anointing. You got to, Lord have mercy. Didn't nothing mean anything to him beside the anointing. He knew that if I can get this partnership together with God, guess what? Everything else going to flow in my life. Don't matter if I please people or not. It matters that I please God. Come on, somebody say amen to this. Ooh-wee. Tell yourself, say, I'm anointed. I'm anointed. See, you can have a DVD player, and it could be in your possession, and you don't know how to operate it. You don't know all the functions and the duties and all the detailed parts of that thing, because you don't read the manual. Well, see, you are having something in your possession right now. You have the anointing. The anointed one. My God. And the purpose of the anointing, let's look at Isaiah 10 and 27. Isaiah 10 and 27. Let's turn it right quick. I'm going to tell you something right now. Isaiah 10 and 27. When you get there, let's read it together. You there? On the count of three, let's read it. One, two, three. And it shall come to pass in that day that his what? Shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his what? From off thy neck, and the yoke shall be what? Because of what? Because of the fatness, the Hebrews say. My God, tell your neighbor, say, I'm fat like that. I'm a fat cat. See, in the old covenant, the anointing was a type and shadow of oil. We used for a couple different purposes. It was used for medicinal purposes. Amen. So when we anointed people, it was for a medicinal purpose. Amen. But also there's a spiritual purpose behind it. So the anointed represented fatness. Somebody say fatness. Say, I'm too fat for the devil to hold me. See, some of y'all thinking we talking to get you offended. I ain't talking about your weight. I'm talking about your spiritual weight. Come on, say, I'm too fat. See, the next time the devil come up in your house, you say, I'm too fat for that. I'm trying to tell you something, because he's going to talk to you every day. And you got to talk back to him, say, I'm too fat for that. I just want you to know, Cat, that I'm too fat for that. Amen. I'm anointed. See, we got to get confident in it. I'm anointed. I'm in partnership with God. I'm just trying to drive something in your spirit, because guess what? When you leave out these doors right here, we walk out of Garden of Eden, there's going to be some challenges that's going to challenge you, just like they challenged me, and you got to walk up to them and say, I'm too fat for that. I'm anointed. I've been called. I've been summoned into partnership with God. Therefore, I want you to know, devil, you don't have no hold on me. You don't have no place on me, because I'm anointed. What's the purpose of the anointing? It's the yoke destroying, burden removing power of God. Whenever the anointing shows up, yokes can't stay. Burdens can't stay. I don't care what the burden is. You could have been burdened with this thing for a whole year long, but when the anointing shows up, the burden can't stay. Glory to God. I'm preaching good. Amen. Amen. I decree right now that this whole city is just too fat. The devil got to loose his hold. I'm not just believing for my church no more. I'm believing for the whole city. I'm believing for the whole city. I'm talking about I'm confessing things that's just impossible with man. But let's see what happens when you got the anointing on your side. Go on over here to Mark chapter 10, verse 27. Go to Mark chapter 10, verse 27. When you get there, somebody say, praise the Lord. We're going to read it together so you can see that it's just not in my Bible. It's in your Bible too. Amen. When you get there, somebody say hallelujah. On the count of three, let's read it. One, two, three. Jesus looking upon them saith, with men it is, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Ooh, that was a good place to underline and shout right there. Now, I want you to circle that word with. Because that word with means to be alongside of. Oh, my God. Now, I want you to turn to John chapter 14. I just want you to see that you are anointed. John chapter 14. And we're going to get to some things that we can see clearly that hinders the purpose of the anointing functioning in our lives. John chapter 14. Let's look at verse 15. John chapter 14, verse 15. When you get there, somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise. Let's read it together on the count of three. One, two, three. If you love me, keep my commandments. Let's read 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you. How long? That means, amen, wherever you are, the Holy Ghost is with you. Didn't say based upon your feelings. Didn't say based upon your good, your bad. He's with you. He's with you. He's with you. He's going to abide with you how long? Forever. The Bible calls him the comforter. Make sure you're here on Wednesday night at 7, because we're teaching on what the comforter means. We're not going to teach on that today. But he's with you. How long? Forever. Now jump on down to verse 17. Even the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he do what? He dwelleth and shall be what? Now the Bible says, for with God all things are possible. I'm trying to glue this thing together right here. And then the Bible just lets you know that God is with you. Therefore, you fall into the category of being able to do things that are impossible. I'm trying to tell you something. See, impossibilities have been determined by this limited world system that is godless. But in the Lord have mercy. When Jesus told them in Mark chapter 9, verse 23, if thou canst believe, all things are possible.